Hello, and welcome to another episode of Can I Have It in Blue, a podcast about design, technology, product, and everything in between. I am Álvaro Bezerra, product manager at Savvisual, and together with me, I've got Joana Gomes, lead designer at Savvisual. And today, we'll be talking a little bit about mentoring, teaching others, which is a thing we do a lot here at Savvisual. We even have our academy that includes a lot of programs for designers, product managers, and developers to kickstart their career. So yeah, I know you have been doing it a lot, Joana, mentoring others. So why? I think it's my main question. Why do we enjoy it and how do you do it?
Yeah, also, I think the why has two parts. Basically, it's part of our culture, right? So at Savvisual, this is something that we value a lot, like teaching others, helping people that are in an earlier phase of their careers to start their paths. So I believe that this is something we have been doing for years and that we keep on doing. So I think that when we recruit people, this is something that we share. We recruit a lot of people through these channels that we have. So it's something that people know that exists and know that it's part of the company. On a more personal note, actually, this is something that I really enjoy doing. As you know, I also started through an internship at Utrecht. And I'll also have like a whole episode about me changing career, so I won't dive into that for now. But yeah, so it's really special for me to help people do the same, not only changing careers, we have that in the past as well, but people that are starting out and want to navigate through this world, to this tech world. It's not easy when you are starting. When you come out of the university, I don't think, at least in my course, we didn't have like a good knowledge of how things are done in the tech companies. So this is, I really like to help people to understand this, to try to add something to their knowledge, the knowledge that they have already. But it's different when you practice, right? And when in the day-to-day life is really different.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I also started my career at Savvisual on the academy program, doing in a summer camp 4 years ago. At the time, you were already a full-fledged designer at Utrecht. But yeah, we also share the fact that we are career changers, but there's a whole episode yes. about that. So I will delve a lot into it. But I don't know, do you think it's part of why we enjoy teaching others, the fact that we changed careers? So in essence, we had to relearn everything?
Yes, for sure. At least for me, I think it's, yes, it's part of it.
Yeah, for me as well, especially product manager, because you mentioned that out of the university, you didn't have the practice, the real world experience, even though you had the theoretical knowledge of doing design. For product managers, I don't think there's like a degree for product management, not one that I know of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's associated a lot with engineers, but not necessarily. And well, as the role grows, it also dissociates from that earlier pattern. But this to say, I came from psychology, as you know, my academic background, and my previous career was car parts warehouse. So yeah, I had to learn product manager from scratch, as in understand exactly what's the role, what's the skill sets. I had zero theoretical knowledge about product manager before actually being one at summer camp. And for me, that's part of the role. You have to know your skill set and understand how you can apply it for your product manager experience. And part of teaching others, new product managers, is understanding their current strengths, what they know, and compound on that on their product management role. For example, I mentored other psychologists from background that wanted to be product managers, and I immediately noticed they had a knack for user research because the thought process is very similar to scientific research in some patterns. So I saw, for example, well, not naming, but other summer campers where they use that knowledge that they learned on their psychology degree to build the scripts and how to structure their user research, which at first sight doesn't sound similar at all, but then it's part of the role to understand your strengths and how you can compound on that. So, yeah, now I think of it, it's something I always check with product managers that I'm training, is what they are good at now. and let's use that.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Is it the same for you or not at all?
Kind of. Not the same, I believe. Because, of course, there's always that component. But usually I try to focus more on the technical side of it. In the sense that, for instance, you learn, at least, like I said, in my degree, you learn a lot of concepts. For instance, I had like a subject that it was about interaction design, for instance. However, in practice, things are really different. So it's way different for you to be working on a challenge that your professor gives you or something, that is to be really actually doing in a product.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I feel like it's more about creating this bridge between theoretical knowledge and actually putting it in practice for designers, you know? And even things like, for instance, working in teams. When you are when you are studying, you are doing like just a project with people that are learning exactly the same things with you. You don't have contact with clients. You don't have contact with developers. You don't have contact with product managers. So I believe that, for instance, when it comes to development, usually mentees come with like really a lack of knowledge that is like really, how do I say it?
Noticeable?
Yes. But it's funny that you mentioned product management because, we don't have a degree for it, right?
Yeah.
So, I was thinking more on the design side of things, but product management, I think it's even more valuable that we have these opportunities for people to learn because you don't have a lot of offer out there, I believe, to learn more about product management. Or am I wrong?
No, not at all. I think it has grown on the latest years. Probably I'm also biased because it's when I started my career. But I do notice a small growth in terms of content that we had 5 years back that we have now. And even in Portugal, you see 1 month product that is a lot, all about product in different areas. And I think it shows really well how much you can diversify the role of product management. And for example, on the 1 month product Web3, I always get students from very different backgrounds. Even though it's a course for people that already do product, there's a lot of different backgrounds, from founders to developers that end up being the ones that do product on their teams, actual product managers, heads of products, as in...
Okay.
How far away you are in your career, I think you always have to be open to learning opportunities as product.
Mm-hmm.
It's
true.
Yeah, even 2 weeks ago, I was reading and studying about different file formats and dimension-sized photos and image manipulation because, it's part of the product I'm working at. And it's also something I try to cultivate on mentees is always be hungry for knowledge. Because you need it at some point or another. A PM is just handling out knowledge and trying to unblock people. So always be hungry for that.
And you mentioned, going back a little bit, but you mentioned that you look for skills, right? That people already have and try to see how can they fit in the role. Did you have you mentioned like the psychologist mentees?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have contact with other types of profiles? And if so, was it still easy for you to identify those skills? Or being you a psychologist yourself, it's easier for you to identify people that have the same skills as you? That's, I believe that's kind of normal. But did you have more, it was as simple as it was with the people with a psychology background?
And that's a really good question. I would say it wasn't as simple as you explained, it's easier for me to detect them. But on the other hand, it's also easy for me to detect what I don't have skill or knowledge at all. So, for example, I also trained a product manager to hand out a big project I was working at, a Web3 one. And, for example, he had a lot of experience doing low-code and no-code and Webflow and all that, which I knew a little bit about, but not at a proficiency level, not at all. Right, more like a hobby. And and at the time he said, how can I bring value with this skill I have? And I said, it's for you to figure out. It's your skill. But it was almost verbatim my answer, not trying to ignored or saying ignore that skill. It's more like I won't have all the answers. And it's something I also emphasize to anyone I'm training. Part of being a PM is knowing how to find answers. And if I don't have it, the best tip I can give is go look for it, or it's something good to explore. And he did. And he ended up doing some cool pages on the website, on Webflow, that helped a lot in complementing the product. Because, well, the developers didn't have to build those pages themselves, and they were more informative than anything else. So, but yeah, it's harder to identify, especially if they are not brought out by the mentees. That's why I try to, well, give that context to them, as in do that introspection, think of your skill set yourselves, and understand how you can apply it. Okay. And I can give my own examples. But yeah, there's a lot of skill sets that can be useful in product. Well, one of mine, for example, is public speaking. And
yeah,
I had training for it back in college, but I hands down give the award to my biggest training in public speaking to being a dungeon master and every week playing role-playing games. Yeah, I mean, it's improvising scenarios every week. So it gives you a skill set in public speaking. Okay. And being at ease. So, and yeah, and there's a lot of that, a lot of hobbies that can give you skills for your day-to-day work, I'll say.
Yeah, so I know what you're saying. I think I mentioned this on another podcast, so for sure I did. But yeah, I can relate to that because when I was in the nutrition field, like I had to do a lot of consultations. Mm-hmm. And my role was to get information out of people, right? So I needed to dig and to try to understand what they eat, because people lie a little bit on this consultation. And I think this gave me a lot of skills when it comes to user interviews, because it's kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is the same. You are trying to dig information through that. You are trying to dig information, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing of asking and keep asking and trying to ask things in a different way and so on, this was something that I already used in consultation. Not actually, I never search before how to do it or search for ways for you to get information from people. It was kind of intuitive. I didn't mm-hmm. like have any technical knowledge about it. But the things that you do are kind of the same. Now I'm better at it because I learned how you should do it. So I'm better. But the skills, like the basic skills, are there because of the consultations. And that's really interesting.
Cool. If I had to bet, I would say that during your degree, you had like role-playing of doing a consult. No?
No, not at all.
We had it in psychology. One would be the patient, one would be the doctor, and we would role-play.
Really? Yeah. No, totally not. Because I think it's more about like technical knowledge in the sense like you learn how to do stuff versus diet. It's a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Physiology, biochemistry, all of that. And then we have like an internship in the end where we go to like to an hospital or whatever and watch other people doing consults, not internships.
Yeah.
But we don't do it during the course, or at least we don't role play at all. We just watch other people doing
interesting.
It. Well, we shadow, yeah, a lot.
Okay.
It's more like that. I think it's more like medical doctors, so yeah.
I see. Well, I had no idea. You learn something every day, right? But yeah. And how do you train others to do it? Now I'm curious.
It's tough. Because I think when it comes to that, like that specific field of doing interviews, I'm still learning, right? So mm-hmm. it's not something that you can learn the theory and then just practice it. You need to practice a lot.
Yeah.
And there's some tips that I give mentees when they do interviews. I usually try to expose them to that. For instance, if they need to start doing it, right? So even if they are not perfect, even if they don't get a lot of from these interviews, I think that it's very important for them to at least start doing it, so mm-hmm. they can practice and see how it's done. I give them some tips from what I know, right? So about like the ways to ask things or what to say, what not to say, things like that. But they really need to practice.
Yeah.
One thing that I also ask them always to do is to record the sessions, Because when we watch ourselves, we see all the errors. It's hard for you to be in an interview and really be aware of what you are doing, right? Sometimes,
yeah.
Because you are in the conversation and you don't realize that you are doing some mistakes, or sometimes you realize them right away, but you already said it, so you can turn back things. Yeah. I really advise them to watch the interviews later on, so they can spot these mistakes, and then in the next interview they will do other mistakes, but at least those ones, I think, that will be at least more aware of them and maybe not do them as much.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good tip. Watching yourself, the recording, you definitely learn something. But yeah, it is a bit self-conscious, right? At least I feel a little bit, but it is a great source of practice. And yeah, I mean, they told us the same on our subjects, on my degree, when doing interviews. It's practice, being comfortable with silence, with a silence, knowing how to probe.
Yes.
Yeah.
When
you understand that something, well, it's worth asking and diverting from the script. It takes practice, 100%.
Exactly. Yeah. And as you get more experience, you start realizing you don't need to watch the recordings as much, right? You can just, as you are doing it, you acknowledge the mistakes you are doing. For instance, this happens to me till this day. I'm talking with someone. I'm trying to understand something. I say something and I think to myself, I shouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah.
I should have said it. But yeah, it comes with practice. And I believe that as you keep doing it, it gets better. And you recall these thoughts that you have during other interviews, and you can fix them a little bit more and more, so you can perfect it.
Yeah. And it can really go down to the details. For example, I noticed that I give a lot of non-verbal feedback, and I smile or I nod with my head, that gives clues to the user that is telling something that I'm enjoying. And well, we know users have that bias, right? Of they want
exactly.
Humans have that bias.
I struggle.
Yeah,
I struggle with that a lot. People are not seeing us, but if they could see us, they would know that we have that like.
Expressive faces. Yeah.
So it's hard for me to maintain that like cold
face
and not poker face and not give away what I'm thinking, because I move my eyebrows a lot and so on. So it comes with experience. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think no one's first interview is good. I would say mine was bad. Yeah. Was horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. And so
same as me.
Yeah, I was just thinking of situations where, well, my situation where I had to learn, and also where I was watching others learn. And from the get-go, I knew that no matter the skill set or the profile, everyone screws up the first one. And it's part of it. It's how you learn. It's how you get on that mindset.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm going to do a lot of ones badly until I start getting them well.
Yeah.
But it's an important milestone to overcome that feeling of, well, self-conscious when you're watching a recording of yourself.
Yeah, for sure. And when I am mentoring, this doesn't happen also only with interviews. But for instance, when I'm watching them, because I usually am in these interviews to watch and to give tips and so on, I also learn, like if they say something, I can see, okay, this is... it's being done this way, and they should have been doing this way. And it's also a learning process for me. And actually teaching others, you asked before about the reasons and why I like to do it. One of the things is also like for me, teaching others is also a learning process. Like it's a way for me to learn as well. Not only in interviews, like I was saying, but for instance, visually, we have like different kinds of programs at Subvisual. We have the summer camp, we have internships, we have apprenticeships, and we usually plan for this, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't have like, we have a plan, we have topics for that we want to share with the mentees, we have all of this. And this forces me to learn. And even things that, for instance, I thought that were already in my brain that I had already learned, it's a way for me to refresh my knowledge about them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I have the feeling that I know a lot of about something, and when I'm preparing this or planning for these projects, I always learn a little bit more because, or there's something new that came out, or there's some things that I can't remember anymore, and I refresh my memory as I go. So it's also a learning phase for me.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I'm trying to, not on only on the planning phase, but when I'm with mentees, they ask questions, right? So they ask a lot of questions. And sometimes I'm not ready for these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go learn about the things that they ask me so that I can give them the correct answer. It helps me grow and to learn more as well.
Yeah, and from
what... Do you also feel the same?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I like to be on my toes. And I also like, I hate studying, as you know, but I love learning. And yeah, a big motivation for that is giving me reasons to learn. And one of those reasons is teaching others. So yeah, and everyone has different perspectives and different questions. So yeah, even refreshing old knowledge is important because, well, meanwhile, I also learn more and also grow. So I'll also be looking at that old knowledge of Moscow's building roadmaps with a new set of eyes and, well, a new set of learnings as well. So it's always refreshing. And I do have a question. So how much is design like fashion in the sense that you have eras of design, like 90s and 2000s, and how do you keep up with that?
I think it's lately is more related to technology,
okay.
Right? So you don't have to go way back to see very different products that we have now.
Okay.
For instance, the evolution that, for instance, the iPhone had or social media, whatever, internet, whatever, Web3 had, this is something really new. Right. So I think we need to keep up more with the technology that actually having like new design trends and so on.
Okay.
That are kind of connected with this, the technology that comes out. Right. So I'm recalling, for instance, iPhones before they had like visually, they were very different from what they are now. So you had to keep up with that. Right. So, I think it's more related to that actually design trend.
Cool. No, that's really interesting. And do you think that teaching new people, right, that are starting their career is a way for you to keep up with the technology? Or is there other ways, like other platforms that you use?
Okay. It can be a way, but I think it's not the main way. I believe that nowadays we are so exposed to technology that in my day-to-day life, I keep up with it because I have to, right?
Yeah.
So I always try to be aware of what's being done, install new apps, work with different projects, try to understand how things are done. Maybe because of, I'm not sure if this is also a personal trait of mine, but I do that a lot. And I think it's important for a designer to do that, to always have like, try to see a lot of stuff, basically, so you can know more and have more visual references, know how things are being done in other products. So yeah, it's mostly about that. Not when I'm teaching, I'm not sure if that's a part of it. Maybe not so much at least.
Cool. Was just curious because it was the other day that we shared the link on one of our Slack channels with the designs, the UI over the ages. I don't know what you recall. Yeah, and it got me thinking. Design evolves. And UI and UX and all of that. But you made a really interesting point on how much it's dependent on technology. Just looking at my iPhone, the island now, the new iPhone island, it's a game changer. Now you have to draw and think of a page that has like an island in the middle of it.
Exactly.
No, I see your point. Wow. Really cool. it doesn't have to do anything to do with mentoring, but it was really interesting. Yeah, I was thinking that, for example, I was always a tech-savvy person, but you get me on Instagram and I'm like, I never touched a phone. I don't understand. I don't know. It doesn't click with me. So I rely a lot on mentees and other people in my life to kind of keep up or be informed of the current trends. But I don't know, maybe it's more a personal trait of mine than a general thing. I don't like to be on the loop on a lot of stuff like on Reddit and all of that. But on the other hand, I have areas that I have zero knowledge. So it's always refreshing when I'm training someone or mentoring someone and they bring these inputs that I never heard of. It's always cool to have that relation of not only being the one that teaches and also learning, right?
Yeah, and when it comes to design, that happens, like, they bring new stuff as well. They bring new, not actually, I'm not sure if it's knowledge, but new ways of thinking, you know? Mm-hmm. For instance, when you have already some experience, you are used to seeing things done in a way.
Right.
So you tend to do it in the same way. And this is good in the sense that usually people want a product to work as other products work, right? Because it's easier for them. They don't have to learn how to work with that product, because if it's done in the same way as others, it's easier for you to navigate through it. Mm-hmm. However, there's always space for a little bit of innovation. And sometimes that happened before with me, like mentees come with new ways of thinking. And I have to kind of be the bridge of this, like, okay, you have to do things in a way that users will understand and in the ways that others are doing it, because it's like the pattern right now, but also give them the space to also innovate a little bit and try to think outside of the box. So, yeah, it's a little bit.
Interesting, because although in a very different practical sense, I do have to put on brakes on some of mentees as well when they come with creating their first roadmaps and pipelines and templates and all of that.
Really? That happens as well in front of
management? Yeah. I mean, slow down. No one asked for this. No one is going to fill out 5 questions for each ticket. Chill.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so you have to have a break there more than...
Yeah.
Okay.
That sense of less sometimes is more. And yeah, don't know, maybe it comes with experience, I don't know, but probably it's a pattern. I remember doing it myself, as in that hype of starting and doing templates with, everything decorated and full of drop downs, explaining that in the end no one read. So I'm much more straightforward. And I try to, I don't try to nullify that completely, because it's part of understanding as well, but I do try to imbue a sense of do it with a purpose, as in fix a problem, understand why you're doing that, not only for processes,
exactly,
but doing your products as at all. Understand what is the problem that you're fixing. And if you're not fixing a problem, then probably it won't bring a lot of value, either a process or for the product. But yeah, it's one of the most important lessons I learned with Martinho, who also works with him. I hear his voice sometimes in my head saying, what problem are you fixing? What problem are you fixing? I did this template. What problem are you fixing? It was really good. It was really good. And I tried to give the same input to everyone I train. You can easily get lost with product management. And then the team also feels the impact of that, because they are surrounded in noise, right? In process noise, in documentation, and all of that.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different from product design. And as you say that, I can hear Nikita as well saying, what is the problem you are trying to solve? So the same. Martin also learned with Nikita. Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, I think in design, it's a little bit different, because you have that, and it's a law, I can't recall the name right now, but you have to do things in a way for users to understand, like I was saying. But you also don't want to, like, stop them from being creative, right? So it's a different field, I believe. It's a little bit different. So I try to find a balance here with them. But also, like, I go back to the why lot as well. Like, why? Why are you doing this? It's just because it looks good, but will the users understand it? So you need to find this balance and really try to discuss it with them and try to make them understand that it should have a reason for the things they are doing.
Yeah, time is money, right? Especially consultancy. So you have to have the why. And I bet if there was a developer here, they would probably say, yeah, that we have to do the same, understand what you're writing before writing it. It's something that comes down with practice as well, as we said before. So,
yeah,
I think that's why our academy programs are so much built around that. As in, we have a lot of knowledge and content. But at least the way I do mine is, oh, look, here's this content. It's really cool. Ask me questions about it. But now let's put you on a real case scenario and put you to work. But I don't know, maybe it's product management specifically or more of that. But yeah, I mean, actively doing it is very different than just learning about it and being theoretical.
Yeah. And since you mentioned our programs, just if anyone is listening to this podcast that wants to apply, we now have some openings in all our three areas, product management, design, and development. So if you want to apply, just, I think we can leave a link right somewhere. Or if not, you can just follow our social media, our LinkedIn, and you can find the links there if you want to apply.
Yeah, 100%. As you might have understood, we are really always happy to teach. So thank you, Joanna. Really interesting. I learned a lot. I think very coherent with the topic of today. And yeah, thank you all for listening and see you all next time.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.